All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Just looking down here at the chat, got to pick out a couple of my favorite names. Starting off, Ron John Boogerman. Love you. Awesome. Brand new McGroin, at least for me, brand new McGroin that I've seen. Ask me about McGroin. There's another one for you. See some of my favorites. Bird Nerds on. BWO Laver is on. I'm not sure how you pronounce that correctly, so if I don't get it right, Alpha Acres on. Jeannie Malfeasance, something like that. Awesome. Good stuff. Love you guys. Really appreciate you guys being on, every last one of you. Just looking at the chat here. Just really appreciate each and every one. Regina loves art. Why not, May? I see you all the time. Can't get over Ron John Boogerman. That's awesome. Nude Monk. Free Rog. Glad you guys are on. Really do appreciate each and every one of you. Going to do a little bit of Biden, just jumping around the Biden administration real quick before we get into CIA malfeasance, which seems to be percolating right now big time. The CIA is not really an American institution. What it actually is an institution for the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, enforcing their rules, their laws around the world, and, of course, the globalist narrative, the globalist agenda, which is to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. Let's hop into the Biden stuff real quick. Just have to show you this stuff because as the news comes out, a lot of times people think it's all in the past. You know, this is all about the Ashley Biden diary. Now, just so everybody knows, you have woman sentenced, this New York Times, woman sentenced 2 months in prison over theft of Ashley Biden's diary. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you think that anybody on earth, if you stole anybody else's diary, you'd be sentenced to prison?
No.
I mean, if I, not that Aaron has a diary, but if I was to steal Aaron's diary, you know, which just probably has a bunch of, you know, Tom is great written in there, whatever, greatest boss I've ever had.
That's right.
All that sort of stuff just written in there. But if I stole Aaron's diary and he pursued criminal charges in the diary, because it had to be the monetary value of the diary, not the sentimental value of the diary, the monetary value of the diary, it would be a misdemeanor theft, which probably of about $1.50. And absolutely, first of all, they'd never take it to court. There'd be no criminal charges. It would be, dealt with, just thrown out, dealt with some sort of pretrial intervention or whatever it may be. There would be no prison. But, and just so everybody knows, what happened with this, and I know all of you probably already know this, but I just want to make sure people know the story, is that Ashley Biden, you know, Ashley Biden's drug addict, and of course, Hunter Biden's drug addict. So Joe's a great father, just a great dad. So, you know, whenever your kids turn out to be drug addicts, there's not a lot of great parenting going on there. I'm sorry if that's you. You need to fix it. Do the best you can to fix it right now. But anyway, so his kids turn out to be drug addicts. And Ashley Biden's in a rehab center, leaves her diary behind. So a person finds it. Is that stealing it?
No.
Absolutely not. She left it behind. She deserted the diary, so it's not being stolen. A woman picked it up, and you can judge the person's motives all you want. The woman picks it up and sells it to Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, which subsequently caused James O'Keefe. Now, this is all over a diary that's worth less than a dollar. There's no CIA secrets in this. We're going to talk about the CIA tonight. No CIA secrets in there, no NS. This is Ashley Biden, who's never done anything with her life outside of being Joe Biden's daughter. That's all she's ever done, and take copious amounts of drugs. That's all she's ever accomplished in her life, along with Hunter Biden, the same way. So stealing her diary was never done. Her diary was deserted. Her diary was left behind. And a person picked up. They didn't break into the room. They didn't follow her around and steal it out of her purse. All of which, again, even if they did steal it, I'm never justifying stealing. Even if this woman did steal it, you're talking about a misdemeanor theft.
Yeah.
If you want to deal with, you release the information in the diary and go after the person for defamation, which would never fly because you're the one who wrote the diary, so you couldn't be defamed using your own writings. But anyway, so the theft never occurred. And again, would anybody ever be charged? Again, I was a cop for 25 years, 1992, 2017, right here where I'm sitting, Sarasota County, Florida. Nobody is charged with stealing a notebook. Nobody. So She ends up being charged with stealing Ashley Biden's diary, and get this now, transporting it across state lines.
What is
turning
that?
Yeah, this, I mean, this Aaron's laughing right now. Turning this into an FBI case. So the FB freaking I, the Federal Bureau of Federal Bureau of Investigation, takes up this case. Now, you'd think you'd want to hold on to the veneer of being politically unbiased. You know, I mean, you think as an FBI agent, because how many of us know that if Ashley Biden stole Ivanka Trump's diary and sold it to the Daily Beast, that nothing would be done?
Yeah.
See, now when we are in power, because nothing we can do about it now, when we are in power, the FBI must be defunded, because the FBI is nothing more than the agitprop of the Democratic Party, the Gestapo brown shirts for the Democratic Party. So is the CIA. So they must be defunded. CIA doesn't do anything to secure America. Not a thing. And boy, you're going to see that in the next couple of minutes. So anyway, so this woman is arrested for stealing a notebook, and which she didn't steal, transporting it across state lines. So get this now, we're talking about fruit of the poisonous tree. In order for you to be charged with transporting stolen materials across state lines, you have to have stolen the materials. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, since she never stole them, that subsequent charge could never take place. It's just like Joe. It's just like Donald Trump's charges going on right now, Stormy Daniels' hush money case in New York. Well, they're charging him with funneling campaign cash to Stormy Daniels to pay her off for her silence. Well, in order for it to be campaign cash, it would have to be, ready? Campaign cash. But it wasn't. So the whole thing is over, because Donald Trump paid Stormy Daniels before he was a presidential candidate. So how can it be campaign cash? But yet when you have blue judges, blue jurisdictions, blue juries, blue grand juries, blue appellate courts, then anything goes. And again, people will always say, no, the truth will win out. Well, who is going to be the backstop for the truth? Who's going to be the enforcer of the truth? It's not going to be Judge Merchan. It's not going to be Tanya Shutkin. It's not going to be Judge Engeron. It's not going to be Fannie Willis. It's not going to be Alvin Bragg. It's not going to be Jack Smith, right? So who exactly is going to stop you from being charged? Same thing here, of course. So this woman is being charged, is now being sent to prison. For the first time in history, and there was a judge who came out recently, I can't remember who and I can't remember where his judgeship is at, but Peter Navarro is now spending 4 months in a federal prison being convicted, now a federal prison, being convicted for misdemeanors. Never has happened before. And that prison has never housed misdemeanors ever until now. So if you are a Republican activist, if you're a dutiful, bent over, butt cheek grabbing, butt cheek spreading Republican, you know, like Mike Johnson, then you'll never be charged, because you'll do what you're told, because you're a spineless little coward. But if you're Peter Navarro and you refuse to obey an unlawful subpoena issued by an unlawful non-select committee, and in order for you to issue subpoenas, you have to be a select committee, and you say, I'm not going to obey a subpoena that hasn't been lawfully ordered, you're going to be found guilty of obstructing Congress for not obeying a subpoena that's not been lawfully ordered, and sent to prison for 4 months in federal prison. Now, every other case that's ever happened, which one's that? D.C. judge?
Yeah, that's for Peter Navarro.
Oh, that's Navarro? Yeah. Darren just told me D.C. judge is Amit Mehta, or Mehta, is the D.C. judge that sentenced Peter Navarro to 4 months in prison for committing a crime. Get ready now. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. You're like, yeah, but who's going to stop it? I mean, if you don't show up, the FBI comes like they did with Navarro, he's 73 years old, has never committed a crime in his life, and the FBI shows up at his house, puts him in leg irons and abdominal irons, and straps him up. Same thing they did with Roger Stone. Again, for a crime that doesn't even exist. It's not that he's even been falsely accused, he's being falsely accused of a crime that doesn't exist. But yet he's spending 4 months in prison for it. And what and a judge has come out recently and said, pointing out the hierarchical hypocrisy of the Biden administration, because the Biden administration themselves are refusing to respond to congressional subpoenas, including Hunter Biden, but not being prosecuted. Peter Navarro is in prison. Folks, this may not have touched you yet, but if this is not dealt with, if you're a Republican, it'll be against the law for you to be a Republican. Being a Republican will become a criminal offense. You're like, that can't be. Why? Tell me how it would stop. If they issue a probable cause, a capious warrant against you for being Republican, and the FBI and its SWAT team is willing to enforce it and then drag you into a court like they did with Navarro and Bannon. Bannon actually just went ahead and went involuntarily. They drag you in there, and in front of you is Judge Mehta, whatever his name is, Judge Engeron, Judge Tanya Shutkin, or any other merchant, the one for the Stormy Daniels case, your prosecutors, Fannie Willis, or Alvin Bragg, or Jack Smith. And it's in a blue jurisdiction with a blue jury and a blue grand jury and a blue appellate court. How are you going to stay out of prison? Because once you're in the shackles, they're just going to transfer you everywhere in shackles. How are you going to get out? Well, video footage will set me free. Well, that's happening with all the 1-6 defendants. There is exculpatory video evidence that the government is refusing to give to the attorneys of the 1-6 defendants, saying that it's a national security threat, to show them hallways inside the Capitol. Because it might reveal secret routes that Nancy Pelosi and her daughter, who just happens to be filming the entire event, will use on these possible insurrection days, or during some sort of violent protest or whatever it is. So just get that. You're on trial for your life. You're facing 10 years in prison. There's a video that shows that you weren't even there, but your defense attorney is not allowed to have it because your prosecutor is saying that it's a threat to national security. Give it to your defense attorney. Everybody can be blurred. Everything can be blurred, but you being shown not to even be there, and a judge stipulates that that's all fine. That is where we're at. That is the truth about our judicial system. All right, put that one back up for me, Heather, so I'll finally get to it. So she sends... Amy Harris sold the diary to Project Veritas, the right-wing group, and what prosecutors said was a brazen plot. A brazen plot. Does that make a criminal? Aaron can have a brazen plot to get me fired. It doesn't make a criminal. Now, if Aaron lies, I can sue him for defamation, but that's not criminal. So brazen plot, of course, is written by the New York Times. Brazen plot does not make anything criminal. To damage Joseph R. Biden Jr. Why do you even put that? Everyone knows who he is. In the 2020 election, damaging Joe Biden politically is not a crime. That's what they do, is they end up stretching everything. That's why everything's redacted, everything's classified, everything's compartmented, classified. Not Anthony Fauci's, all of his emails are redacted. Everything having to do with Ukraine is redacted, not because it's a threat to national security. It's a threat to the reputations of the people committing malfeasance in Ukraine and with COVID, with the vaccines and everything else. So that it's not, and they classify it as a threat to national security. No, it's a threat to the reputation of Anthony Fauci and the Biden administration. It's got nothing to do. It's just like refusing to release exculpatory videos to defense attorneys in 1-6 trials. It's got nothing to do with national security. It has to do with, they say that it's national security, but what it really is that we're going to lose the case if we release it to the defendant. But it's all put under the umbrella of and the false characterization of national security. All right, go to the next one for me, Heather. Here's some little snippets from the Ashley Biden diary. This is why this woman's been arrested. This is why you have somebody who put a meme out about, if you want to vote for Joe Biden, text this. which was done by Democrats too, and that guy's going to prison. Here's this little, here's some little snippets from the diary. Was I molested? I think so. Whoops. Next part on the bottom. A young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Here it is. I'm so afraid of him coming in the shower with me that I've waited until late at night to take a shower. Ashley Biden's diary, referring to the big guy, Joe Biden, pages 67 and 68. And the woman who sold this diary to Project Veracross, none of which is a crime because it was abandoned property. Abandoned property left in her room for a serious amount of time, a substantial amount of time. And now the woman who's enabled us to see that we need to really be looking into whether the president of the United States is a pedo. We need to be looking into it. Because, listen, whoever writes this about their dad? Who writes this about their dad? I'm so afraid of him coming in the shower with me that I've waited until late at night to take a shower. That ain't no two-year-old. That ain't no three-year-old. That is a woman who's in her teens. Scared that her dad's going to come in the shower with her? And this is the guy who swam naked in front of female Secret Service agents? We need to be looking into the sexual character of the president of the United States. Obviously. All right, some change of subjects. More on the Biden administration, though. You can put up the next one for me, Heather. Valid ID was required. So you had your $26 million fundraiser. Remember how that was the world record, by the way. World record fundraiser. One-day fundraiser right there in New York. Radio City Music Hall. Remember, you had the Three Stooges there. You had, as Bannon characterizes it, Biden the criminal, Clinton the rapist, and what did he characterize? Obama the traitor. So there you go. You had the Three Stooges up there. They raised in one night $26 million. World record one-day fundraiser, right? Shattered by Trump over this past weekend on Saturday when Trump raised $51 million. In one night. There you go. But lo and behold, listen, there's no ID required to cross in the United States illegally. Let me just everyone think of the depth of that statement. You to commit a criminal offense to cross the southern border, you don't even need an ID to do it. You just cross the southern border anytime you want, no ID required. You have Mark Elias claiming his 53 court cases, lawsuits around the United States where he is suing various jurisdictions because of Republican voter suppression. Let me translate that in Mark Elias' ease for him, or let me translate Mark Elias' stupidity into the English language. Republican voter suppression means people having to produce an ID. As I told you, last time I voted about, two, three weeks ago, I went in there, presented my Florida driver's license. You don't have to have, that's not fair because some people can't get driver's. You don't need to have a driver's license. Every state will issue a state ID. That's not a driver's license. But anyway, so I presented my ID. They checked it and they made me sign again because they didn't feel like my signature on my ballot matched it enough. Because my driver's license is like 20 years old. And they just keep redoing it over and over again with the same picture and same, I think they like mailed them to us at certain periods of time or whatever. I can't remember how it works now, but anyway, so they made me sign again. Mark Elias of Perkins Coie, of course, Perkins Coie is who? Hired by Hillary Clinton, hired Perkins Coie, Mark Elias, who then hired Fusion GPS, who then hired Christopher Steele, who then hired Igor Danchenko, and the entire collusion hoax and the Steele dossier propagated by the CIA and John Brennan and Leon Panetta. But I digress again. But at this event, you don't have to have an ID to vote. You don't have to have an ID to illegally enter our country. And by the way, it's not just the southern border that's wide open. It's also been found out now that the northern border is also wide open. Because Trudeau doesn't want everybody either, so the northern border is now wide open also. Not the Canadians that are streaming through. It's who the Canadians have let in that are now streaming through. But at their fundraiser now, ID was required. Valid ID was required for the Biden-Obama-Clinton fundraiser in New York at President Joe Biden's fancy fundraiser in New York City, guests were made to present a valid form of photo ID to enter. What's happening right now? You can bring it back to me, Heather. What's happening right now with photo IDs, just so everybody, in case I don't get to it tonight, and since it's more towards the bottom of the stack, the odds are not looking good since it's already 8:56 and it should have already been done 20 minutes ago with the Biden part of this. But what they're doing now, just so everybody knows, is in the state of Texas, and I've told you this, if the four things aren't fixed, folks, we're not winning in November. We can get our hopes up all we want. We're not going to win. I'm telling you, Biden's going to be president for another 4 years, or Gavin Newsom. That's the way that it is. I'm telling you. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just telling you that's the way that it is. If we do not fix the four things, which is no message, that's been fixed. We have Trump. No, so one out of the four has been fixed. No money has not been fixed. We are way under fundraising in comparison to the Democrats. Fraudulent elections and rhino Republicans. If those things are not establishment Republicans, or as I like to put it, bent over ankle grabbing Republicans. If those things are not fixed, and I'm going to focus on number three, corrupt elections, we aren't going to win. Doesn't matter who runs. I said that when everybody's fighting over Trump and DeSantis. I never got involved in that fight. But we're not going to win, because what they're doing in Texas right now is all you have to do to register to vote is present the last four digits of any Social Security number. That's an absolute fact. And so far, they've registered hundreds of thousands of people in the state of Texas, just so you know. We're going to win. All you have to do. Now, what happens when you illegally cross the border? What happens? The Biden administration issues you a Social Security card. It doesn't even have anything written on the back of it. Just Social Security card. All you have to do is present the last four digits of your Social Security number. And you get a ballot. Simple. You're registered to vote. You're good to go. And so far in the state of Texas, they've registered hundreds of thousands of people. You think you're going to win? I'm telling you. And I say this, and get this message, like and share this. Get this to as many people as you possibly can. Maybe you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that can tell Laura Trump that, because the RNC doesn't deal with this and you don't have lawyers on the ground, because that's patently illegal to do. You're not allowed to register as a voter. Guess what? You know how you're not allowed to register as a voter? What eliminates you from being able to register as a voter? Being illegal.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you've got a Social Security number. That does not qualify you to vote. They should never give them the Social Security cards or the Social Security number. But that doesn't make you a legal voter. But they're all voting in Texas. Democrats will always say, and this is not about, replacement theory. This is not about getting illegals to vote. That's all that it's about. It's got nothing to do with racial replacement. It has to do with political replacement. Replacing you and me. And by the way, any leftists that are watching right now, you're being replaced too. Namely the black community. You're going too far to the right. You're getting to be useful to Donald Trump. It's looking like right now, Donald Trump could get over 20% of the black vote. You're going to have to be replaced too, and you are being replaced. Democrats only do anything for you when they need your votes. They murder over 400,000 of you per year via their abortion mills. So I just want to show you this. Last part on the Biden administration. Just want to show you the gas price. The same gas station four years apart. So March or April of 2024 and April of 2020. Here's where the gas prices were. This is an absolute fact. Vince Langman tweet. 180 to 408. There it is. So basically, this taken 4 years apart. Now, this was from a Libs of TikTok. I just took the pick off of Libs of TikTok tweet. The difference in gas prices, average gas price when Donald Trump left office, $1.80. Now Biden's average gas price is $3.61, exactly double what it was when Trump was in the left office, exactly double. Just so everybody knows. So when they talk about when the inflation rates are down, inflation rates being down has nothing to do with anything, unless inflation is zero. Even that doesn't mean anything. Unless it's basically reverted inflation or negative inflation, where inflation is now actually going down off the original point. Let me illustrate. If you have early on in the Biden administration in 2021, he had 13% inflation. Has that inflation ever gone down? No, that inflation never went down. It went from 13% to 9% to 6% to 3%, however it went down, but it progressed that way. The original 13% was never taken away. So prices went up 13%, then prices went up 9%, then prices went up 6%. And then they'll say, well, yeah, but inflation's only 3% right now. Yeah, off of the original 30%. So yeah, it's down off of what it was at 13% and what it was at 9%, what it was at 6% and 4% and all of that. But the original price hike has never been negated or taken away. That's why you have double. And the only, imagine this. What if Joe Biden hadn't raided the SPR? What if he hadn't raided the strategic oil, Strategic Petroleum Reserve, or SOR, Strategic Oil Reserve? If he hadn't raided the SPR, what would the prices be right now? $10 a gallon. It's a fact. They were going that way. Remember that? They were going that way. The gas stations were over five. California was 8 to 10. All depends on where the refinery locations are. If he hadn't raided the SPR, our gas prices right now would be $8, $9 a gallon. Because he cut down all of the oil leases, land leases, didn't cut them down, he eliminated them all. Instead, changes from being a net exporter to a net importer again. After Trump left, when Trump left office, we were a net exporter. We were raking in billions. Had the Keystone Pipeline operating, Biden shuts it down. Closed border, Biden opens it up. Weren't funding abortion anymore nationally or internationally. Biden funds abortions again. Gets us back up to that. Got to get us back up to that 41.2 million babies butchered in the womb every year. That is just the optimum goal of the Democratic Party. Got to make sure we butcher the unborn. But just so you know, this is where we're at. And think about what it would be in our strategic oil reserve. Just so everybody knows, I said this, I don't know, last week at some point. But a strategic oil reserve is supposed to have 600 million barrels in it. What does it have now? 300 million barrels. And Joe Biden says it's two because of him. It's too expensive now to replace the 300 million that he stole, so he could keep prices at only doubling. This is how inept this administration is. Of course, it's not ineptitude. It's malfeasance, because it's all on purpose to bankrupt you and I so that we have to run to government for their assistance. And once you need their assistance, then they can stipulate your behavior. That's the point of all of this. All right, let's look into this now. This is what this is my malfeasance of the CIA portion of the show. I actually named it Alex Jones because to start off with the Alex Jones portion of this. Sound Investigations, follow them on social media. Sound Investigations video, got some longer videos here now. Next, over the CIA section of the show, got some longer videos that are 5-6 minutes long. So hang in there. It's all good stuff. You should be thoroughly entertained. Sound Investigations video, breaking CIA officer, former FBI. So this is a former CIA or current CIA officer and former FBI employee. Don't think he was an agent, but current CIA officer, former FBI employee boasts, Can we put anyone in jail? Set them up. We call it a nudge. We can put anyone in jail. Basically, we set them up. We call it a nudge. Play for me, Heather.
Oblenis spoke to an undercover Sound Investigations reporter about his work experience involving near entrapment and his employer's involvement with political commentator Alex Jones's legal battles.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can. You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, some will call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially.
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
Mm. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little... just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there, or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers... that we know is gonna trigger them, right? Like, we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it. So we're like, oh, this will piss them off.
Oh.
Sometimes you light the fuse and just wait for it to follow, right?
Like a railing. Mm-hmm. Like a, oh. So when a railing happens, that sometimes the bureau behind it?
Yeah, sometimes. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Mm-hmm.
Post fake news. Sometimes it's not fake. It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? You, like a, I don't know, like a, I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like.
I'm sure he's a millionaire. Right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that, what was his name? The one that said the Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Hardcore. Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA thing?
Sure was.
That was an agency thing?
Actually, it was a defamation case, so it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's that going to be this time, right? So even though it's technically not our, well, not the agency, definitely, but the bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we go find?
And did you find anything?
I can't tell you if we did. But, so, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, realize the opportunity that you have.
So with Alex Jones, you were watching him long before anything ended up happening?
Probably. It wasn't my office, but, I mean, we would have been well aware of what he was doing.
And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much. And we let the families do it.
And what?
We let the families do it.
Were they encouraged to do that by the Bureau? Like, nudged?
We don't encourage people.
But, like,
we just say there's no federal statute being broken. But you do have the option for a civil case. And it's a pretty good case.
Nice.
In our opinion.
So, oh, that makes so much sense. I have a cousin who's a lawyer. So that's a lot of these cases. They're kind of encouraged by the FBI?
Yeah, like, there's nothing federal law we can do, but civilly, we can go at him that way and chop his legs off.
And they did?
Yeah.
So the FBI was happy?
We didn't care. We were like, oh.
Basically, the citizens did your job.
Yeah.
Wow, so you can encourage a civil lawsuit.
Not encourage. Educate.
What can you do with people like Alex Jones now? Because he's still out there.
Yeah.
He's still chirping.
He can chirp.
Are you still watching him?
Yeah.
Why?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. We shut him up for a while. You're never going to shut him up permanently.
How? Well, unless you put him in prison.
But again, he didn't do anything to go to prison. Being ignorant is not a crime, though it should be.
It is. I mean, what? You could bring a nudge.
He did inside a riot, like Cheeto. He didn't encourage people to go shoot people. He didn't. So he didn't do anything.
Additionally, Oblenis states that he knows and works with FBI agents who were undercover in the January 6th Capitol riot, estimating about 20 field agents were there undercover. While Oblenis notes that they were not involved in violence, this appears to be the first admission of undercover FBI agents in attendance.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C., just in case it gets out of hand like that. There wasn't enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking they maybe have 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through and observe and see what they could hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Wow. Well, see, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So
that. Why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Did people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
Do you know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, they work for the agency now.
All right, the main points on this now. First of all, I want to make sure that everybody understands because the movies get all of this wrong. The CIA has no jurisdiction inside the United States of America. Sorry about that.
Yep.
And they're not law enforcement. They're not even supposed to be armed. So the CIA has absolutely no jurisdiction inside the United States of America. It's why they need to come up with task forces with the FBI, which we'll see in just a minute when it came to 9/11. They had a task force with 9/11, and the CIA was in contact with at least two of the 9/11 hijackers, which we'll get to in just a second, which is absolute fact, by the way. So you have some big missions here. So they had Tucker Carlson on the radar. Well, Tucker Carlson ended up filing a complaint because the NSA had taken all of his emails and his communications. That's an absolute fact, by the way. And that was actually publicly admitted to by the NSA. So why is it that Tucker Carlson's communications are being targeted and nobody on the left? Because the CIA is the Gestapo for the globalist left. Not just the DNC, but the globalist left. They are not Americans. These are not constitutional people. They are the enemies of America. The FBI and the CIA. Just like he said, Trump, and he called him Cheeto, Trump incited a riot. How did Trump incite the riot? Just show me how he did. By claiming that an election was stolen? Like every Democrat, Aaron and I have a video of 10 minutes, got it from somebody else, 10 straight minutes of Democrats denying elections.
That's right.
And was that inciting a riot? Bernie Sanders, like when Scalise was shot at the Republican baseball practice, for the congressional baseball game, Republicans were out practicing, and you had the shooter come out with his AR-15, gun down Steve Scalise and nearly kill him, shooting at other people, taken down by D.C. Metro cops, to their credit. Why did he go out there? Because of a Bernie Sanders social media post saying that Republicans were killing people by taking away their Medicare. A, they weren't killing people. B, they weren't even taking away their Medicare. So I guess Bernie Sanders is guilty and should be in federal prison for the attempted assassination of 20 or 30 Republicans.
Yeah.
Right? If it's going to be the challenging an election and other people riot because of it, and I'm not getting into, I know the riot was a Fed insurrection. I understand all of that. There were stupid Republicans there, though, just so you know. And stupid, listen, if you see windows being broken in the Capitol, should you go in?
No.
Absolutely not. Does that justify being shot through the deck like Ashley Babbitt was? Absolutely not. You got to ride the wave, all right? Ashley Babbitt shouldn't have been in there. She went through a broken window. Shouldn't have been in there, but it doesn't justify her being murdered by Michael Byrd. So you have to ride the wave. So if you're a Republican and you know there's going to be FBI assets in the crowd, and this guy just admitted that there's FBI assets in the crowd, at least 20 of them in the crowd. Remember, Christopher Wray has refused to answer that question because it's an ongoing investigation. 3 years later, it's still an ongoing investigation. How inept are you when it's 3 years later and it's still an ongoing investigation? We can put, quote, we can put anyone in jail. The CI says, how? We set them up. This is the CIA talking. We call it a nudge. What else do we need, folks? I mean, and if we actually had people who had a set that were in Congress, these agencies would be defunded. I mean, let me just ask you a question. What has the CIA ever done for you or me? I think Aaron told me the FBI was formed in what, 1913? I think he always has to find it for me.
Yeah,
that
or
1917.
1917, like
in the teens, 19-teens something.
Yeah.
So we were fine from 1776 to 1913, 1917, whatever it was, prior to 1920.
Yep.
So what has the FBI ever done for you? They ever responded to your house and helped you out? What's the point of having, let's have sheriff's offices. We need law enforcement. I love the cops. I was one for 25 years. I love the cops. Don't like federal cops. But what's the point of having these agencies when they, quote, can put anyone in jail? How? We set them up.
Yeah.
And we call it giving them a nudge. We're going to go deep into this because this is how the entire collusion hoax was started. Well, Tom, let's get past the collusion hoax because that was 2015, 16, 17, all the way through the Trump administration. It still really isn't over yet. Yeah, ask General Flynn when it ended. I talked to General Flynn. He lives right here locally. He's a great person, great human being. And when I talked to him, it was probably 7, 8 months ago. It had just ended for him. So in 2023, it had just ended for General Flynn. This collusion hoax bullcrap. Again, how did they imprison General Flynn or attempt to imprison General Flynn? They come up with a nefarious connection to any sort of what they would call a crime. So you're going to say that Trump instigated 1-6, right? How did he instigate it? Well, that was a riot. There were laws that were broken, obviously criminal mischief and trespassing. There's laws that were broken. And since Trump challenged an election, he caused that. General, so there's a pseudo, tacit is too strong of a term. There's really no connection. A nefarious, non-existing connection is made between a crime and a non-criminal communication or a non-criminal action. And that's how they work it now. The same thing they did to Flynn. Flynn was on the phone with various foreign entities as incoming director of intelligence. He comes in, so he's coming in as basically Trump's intel chief. Can't remember his official title, but coming in as basically as a intel officer, the number one intel officer in the Trump administration. So he is communicating with foreign entities as every incoming intel chief has ever done. So they call it National Security Advisor. Thank you, Aaron. Gosh, I can't even remember it. So National Security Advisor. So basically in charge of United States intelligence. So he's in communication with foreign entities as every incoming NSA has ever done. Ever. But they say that he was invited. First of all, look, he was talking to Russians. Of course he was talking to Russians. So was the incoming NSA for Barack Hussein Obama. The incoming NSA for George W. Bush. The incoming NSA for Bill Clinton. The incoming NSA for Herbert Walker Bush. The incoming NSA for Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon and LBJ and Robert Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. John F. Kennedy Jr. JFK. The RFKs and JFKs. John F. Kennedy Jr. All of them were in communication with foreign entities. Of course you are. And they charge him with violating the FARA Act. Again, a innocuous communication tied to an offense that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
But that's all, because if you put in front of Tanya Shutkin, Angeron, Merchant, get a prosecutor like Jack Smith, who has no morals or principles at all, of course they're going to fill out the probable cause affidavit and charge him with a crime. Again, a crime that doesn't exist. And then certainly, if it doesn't exist, then it can't have been committed. So you see what the CIA is doing. They're like, well, we couldn't charge Alex Jones with anything because he didn't commit any criminal offenses. We just spoke to the Sandy Hook parents and suggested a civil lawsuit to, quote, chop his legs off. So you have the FBI, the State Department, and the DOJ meeting every week with Twitter, with Facebook, with Google, YouTube, every week to censor conservative speech on those platforms. Sending them lists of, we want these posts taken down. This is the state of our government right now. I know most of you already know all that, but that's the state of our government. And I know you leftards that are watching, you rejoice in that. Go ahead and rejoice in it, because you're not, what are you going to do when we run the DOJ and we start meeting with social media companies, taking down your posts? Leftists cry because we're allowed to post freely, let alone have their posts taken down. They don't like that we're allowed to post freely. That bothers them. Imagine when their posts start getting taken down. So Alex Jones has responded to this Benny Johnson video, bombshell. Alex Jones confirms he will sue the FBI and CIA. Play it for me, Heather.
But now that this has come out, this is a FBI agent, a CIA boss. He's a contract manager over large contract operation. That's a boss. That's like a mini section chief saying all of this and admitting all of this. Like it's no big deal. He needs to be subpoenaed by Congress. I am planning to launch a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI. We have to bring all this out. And right as my bankruptcy comes to a close, and right as all this stuff's being finalized, it's really God working here that this came out at this time.
You just said you were planning on suing the federal government. What would a Alex Jones versus the U.S. government look like?
Well, I'm talking to different law firms right now that specialize in this. I'm going to get off the feed with you. I'm going to get back on the phone with the lawyers. It's obviously a civil rights violation. It's a government racketeering operation using cutouts. And look, I mean, they come after my mother, my father, my wife. In these mediations, they said, listen, just come out against the Second Amendment and we'll drop all this. I mean, they've done that repeatedly. They've even said, listen, we're a mafia and there's nothing you can do to stop us, to my face, in front of my lawyer, in front of Norm Pattis. And so they're very arrogant. I mean, these are the sellouts. These are the traitors. These are the people that really love being under the corrupt FBI's wings, under the CIA's wings. They get a thrill. They get to go out and persecute fellow Americans, lie about them, say all these horrible things, and then say you said it, steal your identity, silence you so they can all pile in on you, make movies about themselves with judges and flashbulbs, and, oh, we're so great. We went out and got the big Goliath. No, no, you guys are the Goliath. I'm the David. You misrepresented what I did to make me a monster, and it's backfired.
And Alex Jones has been, there's more to that. You can go to Benny Johnson and watch the entire thing. But he's been on, he was actually having to hold off attorneys while he was talking to Benny Johnson. He's like, I can only talk now. I'm supposed to be off and talking to attorneys. This is going to happen. I've met Alex Jones. Great, great human being. Really is a great person. Really is a very nice, grounded, wonderful human being. Very nice. Let me on his show for a half an hour or so, along with Rodney R. Brown is his pastor. And of course, Rodney R. Brown's my pastor, too. And Rodney R. Brown has recently hosted the show for a couple hours, too. But we were both on there together. He's just a great, great person. So he's going to do it, is what I'm telling you. This lawsuit's going to happen. There's attorneys chopping at the bit for this, too. And hopefully, he can sue them for all the money that he owes in this defamation case. Of course, defamation case makes no sense either. I know some of you probably get tired of me saying this. Defamation case makes no sense because, again, it follows down that same track. He was, for all convicted, it's a civil case, so convicted really doesn't apply, but convicted of defamation, found guilty of defamation. But you can't commit defamation against dead people. So allegedly he said bad things, I'm not saying he said this, because he only spoke very briefly at isolated moments about Sandy Hook and was basically espousing viewpoints that were coming in about Sandy Hook, which he's allowed to do, by the way. And the only people that could be damaged by that were the kids that were killed at Sandy Hook. And you can't commit defamation against dead people. But when you're when you're standing before an Austin judge and a Hartford judge, again, blue judges, blue jurisdictions, blue juries, you have no chance. People love to live. These idiots that are in Congress, like Ken Buck and Mike Gallagher, they live under the delusions of what America was when they were 10 years old, where you could trust judges. That there was some measure of we can have agreement that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. We can agree on that. We can agree that communism is bad. We had some sort of moral political connection even between left and right. When you're dealing with Ronald Reagan having drinks with Tip O'Neill, because for all intents and purposes, all they disagreed on was levels of taxation. And taxing the rich at this level, tax support that level. That's it. Those days are gone now. They're absolutely gone. So these idiots like Mike Gallagher, Ken Buck, I'm picking on them because, of course, they're leaving Congress on purpose so that they can empower Hakeem Jeffries to become the next speaker. Because these people are not Republicans. They are not conservatives. They are Democratic Party cutouts. That's what they are. Understand that. Mike Johnson is a Democratic Party cutout. It can't be, Tom. He's voted for conservative things. Well, are we going to allow him to be in office or will we vote for him if he doesn't say an occasional conservative thing? Or it's called espionage. And it's say an occasional conservative thing, pass, get an occasional conservative judge put in place. And by the way, when they actually appoint these conservative judges, has anybody noticed that a lot of these appointed conservative judges, Trump judges, Bush judges, are not conservative? So that doesn't certify them as conservatives because they appoint conservative judges. But the FBI is meeting with Alex Jones, and they simply tell him, well, all this will go away if you just speak against the Second Amendment. So the FBI, every FBI agent, every law enforcement officer has to swear an oath to defend the Constitution of the uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. Everybody at the local level and the federal level. Will you now, whether you like the Second Amendment or not, have to uphold and defend it? Period. And they're saying all this will go away, Alex, if you just start on your show badmouthing the Second Amendment. Of course, he said no. And then they call themselves the mafia, and there's nothing you can do against us because we are the mafia. That is the current state of our judicial system inside the United States of America, both in the court system and in the LEO realm of it all. Just so everybody knows, Jesse Waters' video, report deep state is scrambling to find a missing top secret binder. Now, I want to throw this out here. The binder that shows how Obama's CIA set up the Russian collusion hoax. Now, they did, obviously. That's a given. But I want to put this in context for everybody. Why are they raiding Sean P. Diddy Combs' house? Tom, you're a Diddy fan? Absolutely not. I don't even know one song. I have no idea. I honestly have no idea about one Sean Combs song at all. No idea. Why are they raiding his home? Because they're going to try to charge him with sex trafficking? No. If they do, he'll walk. Watch.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they doing it? They're doing it to confiscate evidence, folks. When you are an FBI informant like Sean Combs, what he's doing is he set up a camera in all of his homes. His bodyguards come out. Every room in his house. And these, I can't remember what he calls his parties now. I can't remember. Aaron, see if you can find it. Sean Combs labels his parties what? It's like get something, get crazy or whatever it was. But anyway, so he has all these parties. And at these parties are high-level celebrities, high-level athletes, high-level politicians are at these parties. And he's got cameras in every room, i.e. like Jeffrey Epstein. So Sean, why does he put those cameras up? Probably for the CIA or the FBI so they can use them to influence politicians and celebrities and athletes, obviously, right? Same thing they were doing with Epstein. What level is the CIA involved? What level is the FBI involved? Nobody knows because you and I don't have access to that information yet. We need to get it. But they're raiding Combs the same way, and I am not in any way putting them on the same level. They're raiding Combs the same way they raided Mar-a-Lago because there's evidence that exposes their crimes. The FBI has committed crimes. McCabe, Comey, Rosenstein, Christopher Wray, they've committed crimes. They know that they have, and they've got to go confiscate the evidence of it. Trump had all sorts of declassified, because the moment he says it's declassified, information at Mar-a-Lago about the collusion hoax, where you have Rod Rosenstein, James Comey, and Andrew McCabe, and many FBI agents committing crimes. Now, who were the people that raided Mar-a-Lago? The same people who instigated Federal Bureau of Investigation, the collusion hoax. They went and raided Mar-a-Lago for a couple reasons, but one of them was to confiscate evidence so that Trump no longer has the evidence in hand that exposes their crimes. That's why you had the FBI at Mar-a-Lago 2 weeks before the raid having nice communications with Donald Trump, said everything's fine, everything's good. That's what they quote, the FBI said to Donald Trump. Everything's fine, just put all these boxes behind a padlock. He does all of that. Then the FBI 2 weeks later comes and cuts the padlock off and takes all that information they told him to put behind a padlock. This is exactly what happened. They're doing the same thing with Combs because Combs has evidence against them. Now you're like, Combs is on their side. Yes, he is on their side. So was Jeffrey Epstein was on their side. So was Vince Foster. He was on their side too.
Yep.
And they're both dead. You know, Vince Foster shoots himself in the back of the head twice. So Please understand that's exactly what's happening here. It's about suppression of evidence. It's about confiscating evidence that you and I will never see. And now you have a secret binder that shows that the Obama administration, through the CIA and John Brennan, instigated the entire collusion hoax. $42 million spent, 40 FBI agents over 3 years. They instigated the entire thing, wiretapping Trump Tower, wiretapping the White House. Pence is involved in it. And now this binder has mysteriously disappeared because probably it's been collected by some sort of law enforcement raid. Or maybe it was collected from Mar-a-Lago. Or maybe Trump had a copy of this binder at Mar-a-Lago. That's what the FBI is on and about doing. And of course the FBI had to raid Mar-a-Lago because they know Joe Biden has 1,850 boxes worth of classified compartmental documents in his in four different locations, one of which is in his garage, and broken down boxes next to his Corvette that Hunter Biden's driving in and out of with Russian hookers. Those are all facts, by the way. Jesse Waters' video, report deep state is scrambling to find the missing top secret binder. Play for me, Heather.
Brand new details about how Obama's CIA targeted Trump and started the entire Russia hoax. For years, we were told that tips from an Australian diplomat tipped off the FBI after a random conversation with Papadopoulos, a no-name 20-something. But according to new reporting by Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi, the whole thing was a CIA setup. Former CIA director John Brennan identified 26 Trump associates to be targeted by the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance, and then those interactions were the targets and were targeted by the FBI as suspicious. And that's how the FBI launched the Russia collusion hoax. The details of this entire operation have been stored in a top secret binder in a secret room in Washington. Trump ordered the whole thing declassified, and now the rumor is that the binder might be missing. Joining me now, one of the reporters who broke the story, Michael Schellenberger. Michael, explain how this all started with the CIA picking these 26 Trump people.
Yeah, good to be with you, Jesse. Well, obviously, this is an extremely serious story and serious allegation by multiple credible sources that Public and Racket, that's Matt Taibbi's publication, have spoken to. These are people that are close to the House intelligence investigation of how the Russia collusion hoax began. The story, as you mentioned, was that, oh, we were just informed by foreign intelligence about this. Our sources tell us a very different story, which is that this was initiated by the U.S. government. It came from within the U.S. government's intelligence community, including the CIA, that they asked the so-called Five Eyes Nations intelligence agencies, that's the other English-speaking nations, including Britain and Australia, to spy on 26 Trump associates, or at least they had a list of the 26 associates that were identified. This is new information. Some people have theorized about this and speculated about it. We feel very confident that our sources were in a position to know and are very credible in this report. And it's obviously a very serious allegation because this is illegal spying and it's illegal election interference.
Okay, so you're reporting that the CIA got these allies to bump these 26 Trump associates, create interactions, and then call these interactions suspicious and let the FBI know they were suspicious, and that starts the whole thing. What about this binder that encapsulates this whole thing and no one knows where it is right now or Trump has it? What's that?
Well, Jesse, we'll have a piece tomorrow that is specifically about the binder, but as a friend of the show and of yours on this, I'll say that there has been widespread speculation that this binder was the reason or a reason for the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, and we'll be discussing that tomorrow. But obviously, if this binder contains what we have been told that it contains, which may include raw intelligence, information showing that the U.S. government, the CIA and the intelligence community of the U.S. government initiated the Russia collusion hoax, that it did not occur in the way that the official story, including the Durham investigation, had portrayed it, then that's extremely serious information. And it may be, if the FBI then went to go get it in order to continue the cover-up of this information, that obviously adds an even more dramatic wrinkle to this. Again, we'll have more to say about it tomorrow, but this is a huge, huge story. I mean, I've been thinking about it in the history of the United States of America. Have we ever had something like this where the intelligence community was weaponized against a political candidate and using our foreign allies to do it? I can't think of a more important or dramatic story.
Yeah, and then going to great lengths by using FBI raids to cover it up. That's just an absolute incredible development. Great reporting to you and to Matt, and we look forward to your report tomorrow. Thank you so much.
Oh, the lies, right? Oh, the lies. So the official story, remember now, if you ever read Bongino's material on this, excellent with this. Michael Schellenberger's excellent with this. Matt Taibbi, others are excellent on this story. You get even more in-depth than what we're doing here. But the official story coming from the Obama administration, the O'Biden administration, is that foreign intel officials reached out to us. And you know what? That's actually correct. You're like, no, Tom, no, it's correct. But only after we reached out to them.
Right.
I'll give the Papadopoulos. Here's the Papadopoulos example. So you had Brennan ID 26 Trump officials, campaign officials, you know, just Trump, low-level Trump. I'm not trying to degrade anybody. I don't like to use that sort of terminology because God has no respecter of persons, neither am I. But just low-level future Trump officials or low-level officials inside of the Trump campaign. And one of them was George Papadopoulos. I love George Papadopoulos. But at that time, nobody knew who he was, but he was targeted by the Brennan administration. So did foreign intel reach out to our intel and say, hey, George Papadopoulos is talking about Hillary Clinton in Russia? Yes, that happened after John Brennan reached out and asked them to do so. That's what happened. John Brennan said, I'm just using Papa. There's 26 Trump officials in Trump's orbit. Brennan goes and says, go do, you should remember this from the Alex Jones video earlier on, go do what's called a bump. He targets them, tells the Five Eyes countries, remember the Five Eyes countries, United States, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. He goes to them and says, hey, bump these Trump officials. Remember Five Eyes? Did they contact Christopher Steele too? Yeah, they did. Who contacted Igor Danchenko, who is a Ukrainian, by the way, which I don't have time to get into that. So Brennan tells these foreign intel agencies, bump these people. They bump them and then contact United States intel. That's all left out, and all that's put in the report is the foreign intelligence agencies contacted us. Not that we contacted them and asked them to do these things, and that is what caused them to contact us. That's all left out of the report, which, by the way, is illegal when you are filing what? FISA warrants. When you are putting in applications for FISA warrants, you are not allowed to leave out anything, let alone exculpatory material. What they did with George Papadopoulos is simply go up to him and say, have you heard anything about Donald Trump having dirt on Hillary Clinton? And he goes, I don't know anything about it. This is what he said. This is what he said during his deposition too. I don't know anything about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump having dirt on Hillary Clinton. Have you heard anything about Donald Trump getting dirt on Hillary Clinton via the Russians? George Papadopoulos answers, I don't know anything about Donald Trump getting dirt on Hillary Clinton through the Russians. So now that's what you call a bump. They sent an agent, CIA, asked Australia, because that's who George Papadopoulos was involved with, to go and bump George Papadopoulos. So basically a CIA cutout went to Papadopoulos, had him answer those questions, and George answers, I don't know anything about any of this, and they report back to our CIA and FBI, say, George Papadopoulos is talking about Hillary Clinton and Russia. George Papadopoulos is talking about dirt being gotten on Hillary Clinton via the Russians. He never was talking about it. They asked him a question. He answered the question, and he answered it, I don't know anything about Russia. Donald Trump getting dirt on Hillary Clinton through Russians. But then they can say he was talking about Russians, Hillary Clinton, and getting dirt on her. That's what they did. And they just tried to destroy his life over it. And these people sleep like babies at night, just so you know. Anybody ever worried about it? Like, anybody's ever thinking? Well, at least they feel guilty. They don't feel guilty at all. We have military men rotting in military prisons for decades for ROE violations under the Biden Obama administration, who did nothing wrong. They're sleeping like Barack and Mike. They spoon every night. They spoon every night, the two of them. Whisker on whisker crime every night. No problem at all. Sleeping like babies with men who are 18 years old, and it's stipulated by some, probably the CIA, you know, the military police. They stipulate these guys committed ROE violations, and they didn't. And even if you did, how you have to really make it all about intent, don't you? I don't want to digress into this, but I'm just telling you, they don't care, is what I'm telling you. They sleep like babies at night, destroying people's lives. Fannie Willis knows she's a perjurous, adulterous liar. She doesn't care. She doesn't care that she's a fraudster that funneled $700,000 to her boyfriend. She doesn't care about that. And went on lavish vacations with her, and the same guy who now is not making his child support payments. Nathan Wade can't even afford his child support payments or to pay his ex-wife's medical bills that he is court ordered to pay. Can't pay him. He just got $700,000 in 2023. I think you and I, anybody in this room, could you make it? Could you just scrape by on $700,000 a year? I think I can make it on $700,000 a year.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I could make my child support payments at $700,000 a year. Don't worry, I don't make child support payments. I'm just telling you. So that's how it actually happened. Aaron, let's do Midas real quick. Throw that up for me. Give me 60 seconds. I'm not going to get out of the CIA tonight, I guess. No. I thought for sure I would. I honestly thought I'd be done with the CIA in 20 minutes. Didn't happen. Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. I'm going to be here for 60 seconds. Stay with me. And then we're hopping right to Google and the CIA. Google and the CIA are next. Why do I love Midas Gold Group? Because they sponsor you, Tom. Nope. I wouldn't even take them. I love Midas Gold Group as a sponsor because they are you and me. They are MAGA. This is a MAGA company. I know those of you that watch this show all the time, you know what I'm going to tell you. It's a MAGA company. I don't care about these so-called conservative companies. I love to name some names right now. I would like to name some names. Not really conservative. When push comes to shove, they bow. They bow. When push comes to shove, they bow. That's not Midas Gold Group. They're MAGA. They know the election was stolen. They know Biden is not legitimate. They know that. They're just like you and I. What's the great part of this company? Every bit of their gold is physical gold in your hands. Even their IRA accounts. You want it out of the IRA account, they send you physical gold. That's the first thing I asked them. Can I get physical gold from you? They said, Tom, that's pretty much exclusively what we deal in. Physical gold in your hands. We need to be patronizing companies that are us. The Patriot Mobiles of the world, the Midas Gold Groups of the world. And forget it, we still have to do some shopping at some of these leftard companies. I know that, but whenever possible, we need to patronize companies that believe in what we believe in. Buy your gold. All of us need to be buying gold right now to hedge against hyperinflation. All of us need to. Buy your gold from Midas, and when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. We need to, it's all about what I've been saying for a long time, parallel economy. Let's support the companies that support us and believe in us. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated, MAGA-owned, MAGA-operated, Midas Gold Group. All right, let's go back to the CIA. So Glockford Files video, it's being reported that Google was started by, I don't even know those names. Aaron might know him, but who started the name of the guy? I can't even remember his name.
Sergey Brin is one of them. I can't remember the other one.
But no, that's good because that's the one I always see is Sergey. I'm glad you remembered it. But it says that, you know, it's being reported that Google was started by the government to gather information about the people. Where do you get that from? Well, let's play it. Play it for me, Heather.
was basically started by the CIA. As former State Department cyber expert Michael Benz recently pointed out on Tucker Carlson's show,
Google began as a DARPA grant by Larry Page and Sergey Brin when they were Stanford PhDs, and they got their funding as part of a joint CIA-NSA program, and then 1 year later they launched Google and then became a military contractor quickly. Thereafter, they got Google Maps by purchasing a CIA satellite software, essentially.
Aaron, remember all that you can off that video right there, if you can. So, get this now. So, Google was started with CIA funding. Now, who gets banned off of Google all the time? Oh, that would be you and me. You and I are the ones who always get banned off. How does Google always work towards the globalist left? Not even towards the globalist left, exclusively for the globalist left. You put any search in Google, it's all leftard. Two pages of leftard long before you ever get to a Gateway Pundit article or a Citizen Free Press article. Citizen Free Press dwarfs all other publications, just so everybody knows. They get more hits on their website than all mainstream media websites combined, and you can't find them on Google because they are, using this term a lot tonight, a cutout for the CIA. They are Mockingbird Media. You're like, why does the CIA want leftism? For the same reason that every leftard wants leftism. They believe that it personally benefits them in some way, shape, or form. No, all leftards believe that they're going to be the exception of their leftist tactics and policies. They're going to be kings over all the peasants. All of them do. And that's what the people operating inside the CIA believe that. So their startup money was CIA money. Now, how did they do Google Maps? They were given a CIA satellite to do Google Maps. This is from Mike Benz, by the way. You want to follow a great site? I subscribe to him on Twitter. Mike Benz. I mean, an absolute certifiable genius on what he calls the Blob, the Washington cesspool, which, of course, the CIA is deeply engrossed in. So Google starts with CIA money and expands with a CIA satellite into Google Maps, which exclusively benefits the globalist left. Doesn't benefit you and I at all. All of our speech is censored or banned. Google owns what? The platform that my church is banned off of for life. YouTube. You can't put anything on YouTube. And it gets banned. Anything right-wing gets banned off of you. Again, with some sort of nefarious connection to something that doesn't exist. Like, we can't show your video because it could cause harm. Define harm, we can't. But we're still going to ban your video because it could cause that which we can't define. We're going to ban your video because it could cause something that we can't even define. And all of that money came from the CIA. Rep. Matt Gaetz's video. The CIA helped recruit, so we got CIA, Google, CIA and the collusion hoax. CIA behind persecuting Alex Jones, CIA/FBI in some of these cases. Rep. Matt Gaetz video, CIA helped recruit 51 former intel officials to sign a letter. Play for me, Heather.
All right, Matt, we knew about the FBI. They were pre-bunking with big tech the Hunter Biden laptop story. Oh, you might be a victim of misinformation, and it may be about Joe and Hunter Biden. Now we learned that not only was it Blinken and Murrell involved in putting that letter together before the debate against Trump for Biden, but there were active CIA, employed CIA, employees of the CIA that actually were recruiting former intel members to sign that letter?
Yeah, I miss the good old days when America's CIA was only interested in affecting the selection of leaders overseas, not here in our country. Now we have evidence that that did in fact occur. And you might wonder, why would these 51 people put their security clearances and their reputations on the line to sign something that was clearly false? The answer is that for one of them, they wanted their book approved by the CIA, and the CIA person told the signer of the letter that they had to do that, otherwise they wouldn't get their book approved. That is clear coercion by our government to influence the 2020 election. And it didn't make an impact on the margins. We know that one out of every six Biden voters would have made a different choice had they seen this evidence. But it was blocked by big media. It was blocked by big tech and triggered by big government.
And the CIA now, that's the bombshell of this week. It wasn't just the 51 former CIA and other intelligence officials. It was the actual CIA. It was at least one CIA employee. And Mike Pompeo, the former CIA director, said today, if there was one, you know there was more than one, actually actively complicit in creating that letter and soliciting signatures for it.
You're a mess. Obviously, the House is in chaos as they try to find a speaker, but they're investigating still the Hunter Biden situation. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about that letter you signed on to from former intelligence officials saying that the laptop and the emails had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. Obviously, the New York Post and others saying the Hunter Biden laptop letter was the real disinformation all along. That letter was used in the debate. I haven't asked you this. But do you have regrets about that now, looking back, knowing what you know now?
Well, you know, Brett, look, I was extremely concerned about Russian interference and misinformation. And we all know it. Intelligence agencies discovered that Russia had continued to push disinformation across the board. And my concern was to kind of alert the public to be aware that these disinformation efforts went on. And frankly, I haven't seen any evidence from any intelligence agency that that was not the case.
You don't think that it was real?
I think that disinformation is involved here. I think Russian disinformation is part of what we're seeing everywhere. I don't trust the Russians, and that's exactly why I was concerned that the public not trust the Russians either.
I don't want to dwell on this because we have bigger things to talk about and bigger urgency, but obviously Hunter Biden said it was his laptop, and this investigation continues. So you don't have any regrets about doing what you did?
No, I don't have any regrets about not trusting the Russians.
Okay. Mr. Secretary, thank you.
That's good. So this is hysterical, Leon Panetta. So Leon is asked, it's the former director of the CIA, He's asked, you don't regret signing on to this letter that says this has the classic earmarks of Russian disinformation or the classic earmarks of a Russian op. And he says, no, I have no regrets. And then he's asked by Brett Baird, but Hunter Biden has said that it's his. Do you regret it? Knowing that that's the case? No, he doesn't regret it because it's still Russian. That's what he said. I mean, he still says that it's Russian, even though Hunter Biden said that it's his. And Hunter Biden's attorney, Hunter Biden filed a lawsuit after this letter to get his laptop back. Then how could it be Russian disinformation or a Russian op? And the former, I mean, think about how nonsensical that statement is. Hunter Biden, Brett Baird, to Leon Panetta, former head of the CIA, Hunter Biden said that it's his. So do you still think that it's Russian disinformation or a Russian op? Yes, I do. So I guess then Hunter Biden is a Russian asset then, which he's not. He's just an idiot. He's just a crack-smoking whore chaser. But that's just, I mean, think about the level of audacity you have to have. How little self-respect, how little integrity you could have, how little human dignity that you have. When someone asks you point blank, Hunter Biden has said that it's his laptop. Do you regret saying that it was the Russian's laptop or that it was a Russian op that put this laptop into the wind? No. I mean, you'd have to be stealing from Bongino here. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Aren't they ashamed of him? Aren't his parents or his sister, I mean, you're ashamed of this person? Hunter Biden said that his laptop, that is his laptop. You said that it was a Russian laptop. Do you regret saying that? No. As a matter of fact, I still think it is. And of course, he does the classic avoidance and Potomac two-step. So do you still think this is Russian disinformation? That now that Hunter has said that it's his laptop, do you still think it's Russian disinformation? Yes, I'm still against the Russians. That's not what you're asked, Leon. That's not what you were. We're not asked whether you're for or against the Russians. We're asking you, do you still think that this laptop is a Russian op, even though Hunter Biden said that it's his laptop? Well, I do. I believe Russians put out disinformation. That's not what you're asked. It's not what you were asked. Boy, I'd love to be the person that questions these people. I would love to be. That is something I believe that I would be gifted to do. Let me show you this one now. Again, long video here, 6 minutes long. Canico, the great video. Bombshell filing. 9/11 hijackers were CIA recruits. New court filings reveal that two of the Saudi hijackers of America were CIA recruits. Play for me, Heather.
Bombshell filing, 9/11 hijackers were CIA recruits. At least two 9/11 hijackers had been recruited into a joint CIA-Saudi intelligence operation that was covered up at the highest level, according to an explosive new court filing. This is by the Gray Zone's Kit Clarenberg. So, Max, talk to us about this story.
Our worst fears about this particular episode have been seemingly confirmed through a 2021 court filing, which was just released, which came in the form of a 21-page declaration by the lead investigator of the Office of Military Commissions, which is overseeing the cases of the 9/11 defendants. His name is Don Canestraro, and he had interviewed several FBI agents who were involved in investigating 9/11 and seeking actually to prevent the attack in the months leading up to the attack. So basically, this relates to two of the hijackers, the so-called muscle hijackers, who were charged with overwhelming the passengers and getting to the cockpit. The other one was a pilot, Khalid al-Midhar and Nawaf al-Hazmi. These were Saudi citizens who had attended a Al-Qaeda, they called it like a mega summit. And it was a gathering of top Al-Qaeda figures in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, back in January 2000. Now, during that summit, which, again, it was a major Al-Qaeda summit, during that summit, CIA agents broke into the hotel room of al-Hazmi and al-Midhar on January 5th and January 8th and photographed their passports. They were being monitored by the CIA. The CIA knew they were there, and they knew that something was being planned, something like the Day of Planes attack, which was already within the kind of in the pipeline that was heavily monitored by U.S., Pakistani intelligence, all sorts of intelligence services. So al-Hazmi and al-Midhar were able to then, following this summit, from Malaysia, board a direct flight to LA International Airport, get off the flight without any screening, and then be met at the airport by Omar Bayoumi, who was posing as an employee of the Saudi Civil Aviation Authority and was in fact a Saudi intelligence officer, who then took these two characters, Al-Qaeda figures, to an apartment, paid for their lease, and then arranged for them to receive rides in taxis to flight lessons while shepherding them to and from local Saudi-sponsored mosques. This should have set off alarm bells everywhere, but the CIA refused to tell the FBI that these figures were in the country. The CIA was operating through a shady unit known as Alex Station, which had been set up in tandem with the FBI, but which operated outside the FBI's purview and was essentially a black operation charged with the ability to recruit assets. And so not only did the CIA refuse to tell the FBI about these two would-be hijackers in the U.S., they forbade FBI agents assigned to Alex Station from telling other FBI agents. Why would they do that? Why would they be so determined to avoid the detection of these two dangerous figures as they were being shepherded through the U.S. by Saudi intelligence. Well, it's clear now, as was everyone suspected through Don Canestraro's filing, that they had been recruited by the CIA and were CIA assets, whether they knew it or not, and that Omar Bayoumi, the Saudi intelligence agent, was himself a CIA asset working in a U.S.-Saudi joint intelligence operation. And this raises a lot of questions, which we'll get to, but here's the statement of an agent known simply as C3 in this filing, said that Bayoumi's contact with the hijackers and his support thereafter was done at the behest of the CIA through the Saudi intelligence service. And the explicit purpose of Alex Station was to, quote, recruit al-Hazmi and al-Midhar via a liaison relationship. And so as Kit Clarenberg details in this excellent article, which really puts all of this into context, the FBI was not told about al-Midhar and al-Hazmi's presence in the U.S. or the fact that I think one of them was actually the roommate of the lead 9/11 hijacker, Mohammed Atta, at one point, which would have just wrapped up the whole operation, until the operation was in its final stages and they had already gone to New York. Even at that point, it was not made a law enforcement investigation, which would have necessitated arrests. It was simply an intelligence investigation, which necessitated nothing more than surveillance. So you can just point a finger directly at Langley, at the CIA, and at Alex Station and say, you are responsible for letting 9/11 happen. That is the most conservative analysis we can put forward.
So how is any of that not true? That's the question. How is any of that not true that the CIA recruited two of the 9/11 hijackers? Knew all about the 9/11 hijackers, knew what their plans were, wouldn't tell the FBI. They had Alex Station, which was a joint jurisdictional task force, because in order for the CIA to operate inside of the United States of America, they have to have a liaison with the FBI. So they have to form a Alex Station sort of task force. This particular one was called Alex Station. And they wouldn't tell even the members of this task force, the CIA wouldn't tell them about the two hijackers that they were grooming. And any FBI agent that did know about it, they were forbade from telling other FBI agents, which, by the way, just so everybody knows, is freaking treason. Mm-hmm. Just so you know. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about the reality of the buildings and how the buildings came down. We know that about 3,000 Americans died as a result of whatever happened on 9/11. And the CIA knew it was going to happen, knew that that two people were about to be involved in it, and did nothing. Why? Why? And FBI agents knew about them and did nothing about it, including refusing to inform their superiors, which is treason. Did nothing. How is any of this not true? Prove that it's not true. So far I've compiled a list here. So you have the CIA involved in or causing the following. The collusion hoax, which they caused with their Five Eyes cutouts. And by the way, just so everybody knows, Carter Page, which they used to as the one hop rule to, so I don't have time to get into that right now, to wiretap Trump Tower. Carter Page is who? Anybody know who Carter Page was? Carter Page was a CIA asset. He was a confidential informant for the CIA. They were involved. They caused the Hunter laptop lies. They instigated the Alex Jones civil lawsuit. They formed Google and Google Maps via CIA money and CIA and a CIA satellite. Now we have the 9/11 hijackers. Here's the next one for you. RNC research video. Does President Biden, here's Karine Jean-Pierre, does President Biden have any reaction to CIA Director William Burns? This is in 2014. Let's see. Who was the president then? Barack Hussein Obama, who caused the collusion hoax. Does President Biden have any reaction to the new revelation that CIA Director William Burns, was met with Jeffrey Epstein. Play it for me.
President Biden have any reaction to CIA Director William Burns meeting with Jeffrey Epstein in 2014? This obviously was after Epstein had served time for a sex crime and registered as a sex offender.
I'm just not going to comment on that from here.
No, what a definitive answer. Thank you, Karine Jean-Pierre. Does President Biden have any comment about his former CIA director meeting with Jeffrey Epstein after he was a convicted pedophile? Well, no comment from here. Oh, thank you. That solves all of our problems, doesn't it? You know, how much was Jeffrey Epstein a CIA cutout, which many people think that he is? And not only a CIA cutout, but maybe a MI6 cutout and many other foreign intelligence agencies. See, that's what I'm saying about Sean P. Diddy Combs. I don't like Sean P. Diddy Combs. I don't like him at all. He is a Democratic Party operative. He elects Democrats. He recruits voters for Democrats. He builds momentum for Democratic voters. But they are raiding his home because he has evidence against Democrats. He probably collected it so that he had leverage in case they started coming after him like Democrats always do eventually. They come after their own. For you leftards that are watching, that just, you know, I have no problem with the CIA going after conservatives. We're not the only ones they go after, moron. They go after you too. And that's why Sean Combs' mansion has been raided and all of his evidence has been collected and we'll never see any of it. And watch him never be charged. Watch him never be charged. Or if he is, it'll be something. They tried to do that with Epstein. Epstein just couldn't keep his pants on. They did that with him. They basically exonerated him. You know what his prison sentence was? This was after he was convicted of raping like a 14-year-old. His prison sentence was going to his office every day, all day, every day, on his own, doing whatever he wanted, and then reporting back to prison at night. That was his prison sentence. And there's a whole backstory to that that is deeply linked with the establishment Republicans and, of course, establishment leftard Democrats. And just to show you something here, how it all ties together and how you know that the FBI, I mean, yeah, well, of course the FBI, but you know that the CIA is simply another leftard organization. Look at their recruitment video. Play for me, Heather.
If you've been on the internet this week, you've probably seen the video we're about to show you. If you haven't seen it, there's really nothing we can do to prepare you for the experience of seeing it, except to tell you two things about it. First, it's entirely genuine. This is not a hoax. It's not a deep fake. It's not the work of some demented comedic genius who set up a parody account on Twitter. No, this video is real. The second thing to know about the video is that it's from the CIA. And that's not the Culinary Institute of America, the people who teach baking and sushi preparation. No, it's not. It's the Central Intelligence Agency, the guys who do waterboarding and subvert foreign elections. The CIA is the most heavily armed and supposedly the most sophisticated intelligence gathering operation on the planet. And yet somehow they produce this and then put it on social media.
I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I used to struggle with imposter syndrome, but at 36, I refuse to internalize misguided patriarchal ideas of what a woman can or should be. I am tired of feeling like I'm supposed to apologize for the space I occupy rather than intoxicate people with my effort, my brilliance. I am proud of me, full stop.
Puke fest. So you see that the CIA is nothing more than a leftard organization. They are a leftard agency that works for the globalist bourgeois leftist elitist and, of course, the Democratic Party. So here's the final list. The CIA was involved with or caused the following: the collusion hoax. Carter Page was a CIA asset. Hunter Biden laptop lie. Alex Jones, getting Alex Jones civilly persecuted and found guilty of defamation, which is impossible when you've defamed dead people. Forming Google. And by the way, Google is YouTube. So YouTube is there because of CIA money. Just so you know. That's why, because the CIA is a leftard globalist Gestapo. That's why all conservative speech is banned off of YouTube. And those of you that stay on YouTube, And you make sure that you monitor your speech. You're nothing but controlled opposition now. If a leftard tells you how to speak and you're abiding by those rules, then who is your taskmaster? And really, who are you a propagandist for? So they formed Google, formed Google Maps via CIA money and CIA satellites. We're behind two of the hijackers in 9/11. The former CIA director met with Jeffrey Epstein after he was a convicted pedophile. By the way, the CIA is very much intricately linked with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That's weird, isn't it? And of course, we just saw that really the CIA is a transgender propagandist. Just so you know, that's who these people are. All right, that's it. 937 people on. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome as always. Stick around for it. We're back here Thursday night at 8:30, running a full 90 minutes of fury. As always, tonight we went for 101 minutes of fury, 11 minutes worth of overtime. Make sure you stick around. Buy your goal for Midas. Stick around for the post game stuff that I put together. It's all videos, montage of video, probably last somewhere between 5-10 minutes, something like that. Stick around for the post game. Love each and every one of you. Love all you guys in the chat. Really appreciate you. Love McGroin Nation. Thank you guys. You're pushing us further. We're getting further and further. You're really helping it. Go to McGroin Nation on Rumble. Look, watch what they're putting out. Really appreciate you guys pushing us out there. Talking with Lindell TV tomorrow. Have a meeting with them tomorrow. Maybe we'll have another platform available to everybody. Love you guys. Really do appreciate you. See you on Thursday night. God bless you.
Everybody is captive to something. You will choose one of the three. God, the world, or the devil. You'll be captive to one of those three. You'll be captive to one of those. You need to choose your captivity wisely. Well, I just want to be free from God then. God, okay, free from God is hell. Free from God is hell. Why? Because every good and perfect thing comes from above. James 1:17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Anything that is so funny to me, because as people try to destroy America in the name of saving democracy, they destroy every good thing about the very America that hordes of people try to get into every day. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So you're like, I just want to escape God. Then you escape every good and perfect thing. But you need to choose wisely. You need to know right now, what am I captive to? If there's other things more important to you than the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you're in captivity to the world of the devil.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to tomlipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.